Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It's a great pleasure to go to the city of Albany in the 18th century to meet the Schuylers. And the reason I'm traveling to Albany in the 18th century, latter part of the 18th century, the time of revolution, is a wonderful new rich book about Albany and beyond by Molly Beer. It's entitled Angelica, for Love and Country in a Time of Revolution. Angelica Schuyler, later Angelica Schuyler Carter, later Angelica Schuyler Carter Church, was born to a family of prominent Dutch descendants, the Schuylers. Molly, this is wonderful. Thank you very much. Congratulations. I want to go to the house that Mrs. Schuyler, Catherine, built, sometimes called the Schuyler Mansion, sometimes called Pastures. Where is it in Albany? Is it still there? Do people visit it? Good evening to you, Molly.
Good evening to you. Thank you for having me. Yes, the house is still there. Yes, you can visit it. It's run by very excellent interpreters who can give you multiple stories of the place. And I'm a big fan of visiting houses to connect with history, where they're not quite a monument to the person, but you can occupy the space and the cellular matter. But they've done a beautiful job restoring it, and they've done a beautiful job sort of interpreting it in a myriad ways to show the diverse stories of the home and how it's, in its role in history.
Catherine built it, correct? Philip agreed, but Catherine was the architect, the designer, the supervisor of the construction, if I remember correctly.
Yes. So the house was built the year that Philip Schuyler sailed to England in order to settle accounts. He'd been working with a quartermaster during the French and Indian War, which was winding down. And he went to cash in on those purchases that he'd made on behalf of the army. And so he sailed to England, and his wife, with three small children and pregnant, was left in to manage their household and, his whatever business things were languishing, and also to oversee the building of the new house that was their first house of their own, and that would stand for them as a family. And it's just south of the city. It was outside of the palisade walls that were still surrounding Albany at this point. It was actually built on what had been originally the communal pastures for the town. That's why it's called the Pastures.
Yes, now the children come along. Eventually, Catherine will have 14 children. It is striking to come up against these very sturdy women of the Revolution, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 children. There's a gene pattern here that, Angelica has children living into their 90s, into the 80s, in a time of no penicillin and no heart surgery, nothing. So incredible. I wonder where that gene is today. Catherine is the grand dame, and Angelica is born 1755. A theme of your book, Molly, it's a joy, is how women were gaining credibility as separate citizens all during this period. It wasn't brought legally, but it was brought in each individual family. And I presume that Philip was not in any fashion alienated from the fact that his mother, his wife, Catherine, and his daughters all had strong opinions. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. He was very aware of that and dependent upon them. He relied heavily on Catherine.
He decided to educate his daughter and all of his daughters by sending them to school, which was unusual, I believe, in the 1760s. Is that correct?
Things were slightly different for the Dutch families. There was, they weren't practicing primogeniture. There were women merchants throughout, in those Dutch families. And educating women, especially if, your widow was going to take over your business if you died, and the likelihood of you dying was, pretty possible. So it was valuable to have women be able to step into your position if something happened to you, or if you were sailing to England, or if you were gone at war. It was necessary that their wives be fully functioning. Catherine didn't write much. She always had men, or then later Angelica, write her letters for her. But she could certainly keep accounts, and she could certainly manage things on her own.
The Schuylers and I believe Catherine's a you say it for me. And her family name.
Oh, Van Rensselaer.
Rensselaer, yes, that's what I wanted. Van Rensselaer had vast lands that were coming from the Dutch era. Was there tension between the Dutch and the English as late as the late 18th century?
Absolutely. I mean, into the Revolutionary War, that tension was affecting Philip Schuyler's ability to be a general in the Continental Army. He had actually been a member of the committee that helped determine where the border would be between New York and Massachusetts, and New Englanders were resentful of that.
And our heroine, Angelica, is going to go through this transformation on the basis of how her name is pronounced. Mm-hmm. She has the Dutch pronunciation in Albany. It's Albany, not Albany. Albany, whatever. Albany. And when she gets to New York, she becomes Angelica, even Anne for a while, Anna.
Yes. So she's baptized Engeltje, Engeltje. And then, when she winds up going to New York in 1766, she's a guest of the royal governor and his family for the year. And it's at that point where she definitely switches to English fully, including her name.
She has sisters. She has brothers too, but the sisters become prominent. Her second sister, her younger sister, is Elizabeth, and beyond that is Peggy. Those are the major names. Mm-hmm. And are they as educated as Angelica?
They are. My impression is that Elizabeth, who the family calls Betsy, is more reticent. But Peggy was certainly acknowledged. They call her a Vanessa, that she's, a very intelligent woman, and criticized accordingly.
Angelica's a high bar. So, okay, fine. We're looking at young women at a time of history when everything is going to happen. The transformation of the planet as we know it, America, happens. So it's important to know that they had a youth in one world and a teenage year in another, and then comes the revolution, and then beyond that into the 19th century. So Angelica's educated, rushes through the teen years, and then she does something that I hadn't expected. She breaks her mother's heart and elopes. Why did she do that?
Well, there are a couple of possible reasons. One, the man she elopes with has come to investigate her father's accounts, so it's possible she's helping out her father. But given their trajectory after that, I think she was in love with the guy. He was an Englishman. He had ideas about women that probably were thrilling to her. He had sponsored women poets in his previous life back in England and their work. And he he's great at cards, and he knew, he spoke French. And I think she was really charmed by this elegant cosmopolitan man.
Philip was not charmed, however. His name, John Carter's his name, he says. And Philip wants to know more. Mm-hmm. And Philip is... while Catherine's heart was broken, Philip's going, I don't like the way this is going. They not only eloped to get married, didn't they immediately find another place to live? I don't remember. There was a time in other cities.
Yes. So they elope really just, you know, their family becomes distracted because General Burgoyne's army is invading northern New York from Quebec. And so everyone is all attention on the northward. And Angelica and John Carter slip away across the river and go elope in Massachusetts and then come back. You know, which just before the Fort Ticonderoga falls to General Burgoyne, and, you know, General Schuyler uses it as his wedding, forgives her enough to use her wedding as a smokescreen as he removes umpteen wagon loads of goods from their house at Saratoga.
Right.
And says it's for her wedding.
They are in the target zone of Burgoyne's army. This is 1777. The fall of Fort Ticonderoga is blamed on Philip Schuyler. So now we have an extremely well-educated and strong-minded woman, Angelica, married to a man who claims his name is John Carter. Philip, her father, is now going to be blamed for losing Fort Ticonderoga, which is foolish once you know the details, but this is the 18th century. It takes a time. And everything's going to change now because Angelica is going to meet the revolution. The book is Angelica. Molly Beer's the author for Love and Country in a Time of Revolution. And we're going to see it through the eyes of Angelica Carter, Angelica Schuyler, called Mrs. Carter for a while. I'm John Batchelor.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts. So I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.